right, wow, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from the Lord. We bless the Lord for that. How about that? Astro, I appreciate the good singing and the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed tonight. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of James, and James in chapter 1, James in chapter 4, you find the place. If you're able to stand, then we'll stand as we look there in chapter 1, first of all, and verse number 8, all right? James chapter number 1 and verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you, thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Now bless, I pray, the Word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little bit on a double-minded man or a double-minded person. Might be a woman, might be a man, might be a boy or girl. Let me say to you that whenever you look over there in the book of James in chapter number 4 and about verse number 8, he said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Look at it. You know what that is, don't you? That's people that are preaching one thing, practicing another. That's what that amounts to. And so when you begin to look into that, and hey, let me tell you, is that we live in a world that's like that. God said, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaven. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I want to talk a little bit about that, if you will, please, in this service here tonight, talking about being double-minded. And as a result of that, what we ought to be is we ought to be single-minded. Have your eyes and your mind upon the Lord and the will of God and the Word of God and the things of God. That's what we're looking for and looking to need. I can't tell you, and out of all the years of ministry, you know, you can always kind of pretty much read people as they may amen one thing and while they're practicing something else and all that. I remember when I was making a statement and said something about what kind of school and what kind of school board wants to use as a mascot a devil to represent them. And I got a lot of amens and rights back then. Now the same kids that used to amen, they're busy going to that kind of school. Now, I realize, though, that people, they're certainly, we live in America, and do you realize, though, that I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? I ain't talking about the New King James, I'm talking about the old King James Bible, that it's the blessed Word of the Lord, that you'll find out that it's the truth of God, it's without any error whatsoever. Make no mistake about it, it's good to be able to rely upon the name of the Lord and the Word of God. Over there in the book of Galatians, don't turn there, but in chapter number 4 and about verse number 16, do you remember Paul the Apostle when he wrote to the church at Galatia? And then he says unto them, obviously it was biting them a little bit heavy here and there, and he said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I got to tell you, anybody and everybody can take the truth for one day, but you've been taking it for many days. You've been taking it for many years. There's a few things that in days gone by, I've met a pastor or two and said, I wish somebody would come through here sometime and preach on this or that. Mainly it would be on interracial marriages or anything like that. Well, why don't you do it? Oh, no, I'd lose too many people. Well, what in the name of God are you doing trying to build a church that's no stronger than that and that? I mean, you ain't got to be hateful about people and all of that business there, but you ought to tell the truth of God, whatever that it is, and whoever that it involves. Let me tell you, I've had many people that have called me up, sent a text. I'm not on the two Facebook, and I'm not knocking it if you are, but I'm just not on it. And but anyhow, the long and short of it is they've told, you know, if I listen to some of the sermons you've been preaching, if I were to preach that, I'd lose nearly all my congregation. Well, shame on you for watering down the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you can keep somebody like that. You know, I realize that whenever life is hard in and of itself, I thank God. I look at some of you men, some of you women, Sometimes you look good and sometimes you look like you're so miserable you can't hardly stand it. And the reason being is because that's the way it is at your house. Let me say that again. Reason being, you know why you're such an old sire puss at church? That's probably what you are at the house. Well, not all the time. Not all the time. Well, let's move along because I can tell right quick. You remember and know that whenever we look into the Bible here, you begin to find out that over in the book of Matthew chapter 10, you ain't got to turn that about verse number 25, you'll find that it's good that the children of the bride chamber, it's good that you and I realize and know that they called Jesus Beelzebub, which was a pagan deity. And Jesus said, if they call the master of the house that, they're going to call you that. You see, a lot of times we want to be thought of better by the world and the religious world. But let me tell you right now is the Lord Jesus said, it is enough. It is enough that you suffer for my name's sake, so forth and on. Over there in the book of Mark in chapter number 14, you ain't got to turn there, but in chapter 14, about verse number 41, Jesus was out there around the garden and he was praying. And he said to his disciples that accompanied him there that here's what I want you to do is that I want you to watch and pray with me 1 hour. He went away and he came back and guess what they were doing? Snoring. Sleeping. And as a result of that, you'll find out that he went away again, came back the second time. They're on watch. They're supposed to be watching and praying just for 1 hour. And guess what they were doing the second time? Snoring, sleeping. I got to tell you right now is that I had a man one time, not here. He's not here and nobody here and it's not anybody you know. But anyhow, they worked on him, got him here, and he was a big fellow. And he'd make the biggest fella in here look small and petite compared. I mean, buddy, he was a couple of axe handles broad. And time he'd sit down, he would, I preached pretty loud. Before I got old, I was probably louder, but I'm still pretty loud. And I preached loud enough to where it didn't drown him out snoring on the back row. Every time I'd draw another breath, you could just hear him, buddy. I mean, he was getting it on. And they told me, and they said, well, you know, when he sits down like that, he can't help it. He just passes out and goes to sleep. I said, well, he obviously stays awake while he's eating. I mean, if you need to take a little nap, bless God, honey, go ahead and grab it, but don't try to make an excuse to me when you're twice, three times, four times bigger than anybody else in the congregation. I said, he ain't sleeping all the time. Jesus came back the third time, and he found them there sleeping again. And here's what he said, sleep on now. The hour's come for the Son of Man betrayed into the hand of the enemy. And boy, there was Judas and that gang of men that all showed up. I got to say unto you that if you will, please, is that there's going to time that God's going to say it is enough and he's going to come again just as sure as you and I are sitting here tonight. Now look in your Bible and I want you to look there in that in Psalms 106 tonight. You can see that. You know, the Bible says that not only is he enough and is he it enough, but he's enough and whatever he's provided is going to be enough all the time. Now in the book of Psalm, chapter number 106, do you know that the Bible says that God made man upright and so forth and on, but he sought out many inventions? Look if you will, please, in about verse 35, Psalms 106. But they were mingled. Now, they were supposed to go in and to destroy the nations whom that God gave into their hand. But instead of doing that, verse 35, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works and served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Now, you know, the Bible teaches us, whenever you begin to look into it, is that God has made man upright and he sought out many inventions. That's what over there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, about verse number 27 will tell you, about verse 29, rather. And let me say to you that, if you will, that you and I ought to be able to meet together. Jesus loved the church, established the church, and he's coming back for the church after he's added the last one he's going to add to the church. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that you got to be careful that sooner or later that God does, that while you've got your eyes upon the Lord, that you don't get bored with him. You know the reason why bus ministries run rampant in the land? Bus ministries. And that's where they got a whole bunch of kids and they got them bowing their head, got them repeating a prayer, and got them doing this and doing that. And of course, as a result, their excuse is that they're going to try to reach families, mamas and daddies, through those children. And I've been doing this a long time. Let me tell you right now is I'm not looking for a new thing or a new way. God said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You know, whenever you get to where you've got to have games and gimmicks and you've got to be able to try to do something or another to fool people and be able to get people up, that's an invention that man has brought up. And let me tell you right now, God's not interested in invention. Paul the Apostle said, I used to think that there were many things I ought to do against Jesus Christ and his disciples. I'll tell you, when he got saved, he began to realize and know that religion and righteousness is two different things. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out is that we ought not to provoke our Lord with many inventions. Look in verse 29 of Psalms 106. He said, thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist in the day we live in? They get bored with what God intended for us to be doing. They get bored with the work of God, and they want something a little bit more exciting, a little more buzz in their saw or this or that or whatever, and they provoke God with many inventions. Now, I can tell you this, and I know with all of my heart, is that I'm getting closer to where I'm headed than where I came from. I'm looking forward to leaving out of here one of these days. And you may still be left behind, but I'm just saying to you, we'll all end up in the same place because we have the same Father through Jesus Christ, our same Lord. I want you to watch in this Bible passage there, and here's what happened. You know, when you get to the place and you mix and mingle with the world, it ain't long until the world's going to get off on you. I don't care who you are and where you are, how strong you may think you are, you go to dabbling in the world too much, first thing you know, the world's got a hold of you. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that you'll end up finding people that used to get under conviction when you came around, now they're bragging on you because you're such a blessing. Let me tell you, a God-cussing heathen that's been religious but lost all of their life, they don't know what a blessing comes from God is. And they're just trying to be able to pull the wool down over your eyes and to make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. Do you know, let me tell you this, and just so you'll know it, is that I've seen many a preacher that swapped horses during the run. I've seen many a person that's changed directions. And where they once were walking with God, now they're just trying to walk to please themselves and the rest of the world that they're involved in. Now, I want to tell you something. Do you know that the Bible said over in the book of Luke in chapter number 6, about verse number 26, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. You know, if you're a child of God, there ought to be somebody that doesn't like you. If you've been living right, walking right, talking right, spitting white, doing what God intended for you to do, there's going to be some people that are going to be upset with you. I want to say to you that if you're not careful, I've seen many a person, you know, that looked like they were walking with God, looked like they were waving that blood-stained banner, looked like they were telling the truth of God, and now they're busy running around with that beer drinking, lying, cheating, conniving, long-haired, whiskey-sipping, bunch of devils that are up and down the road committing fornication and adultery, and they got that kind of people bragging on them. See? Ain't no telling how mean I'd get if I was on Facebook, but I'm not, and I don't really know, and I could give a rip one way or the other. I mean, I know you know. You see what I'm talking about? I know pretty much what's going on. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find out, is that we're in a world that somehow or another, that God said over in the book of St. John, chapter number 8, about verse number 31, if you continue in my word, there's no place to ever be able to get away from what God said in the Bible. Amen. There's no time to be able, well, you know, I used to think this and I used to think that. Well, let me tell you what the problem is. It's you and your used to be-ism instead of what is right now, and the word of the Lord's never going to change. I am the Lord, and I change not, the Bible said. I was thinking about in this lesson here that you're looking at over there in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and about verse number 14, the Bible said we ought to continue thou in the word of the Lord. We're in the things that God has given us and things that God has said. Let me tell you, that's what I said too, buddy, right there. The ground is settled, and you and I want to give you two or three passages. One of them's in the book of Matthew in chapter number 15, and we'll take time to look at that. One of them's in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and about verse number 7, and then one of them's in the book of Ephesians, and we'll look there. That's Colossians 2 and then Matthew 15 and then Ephesians in chapter number 3. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, here's what he says in verse 7. And the Bible said in chapter 2, book of Colossians, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, I'll tell you something, is that if you're rooted in the faith, and if you've been taught anything and you grabbed a hold of it, then verse 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, you know what people are going to say if you're a little different, if you're different. Well, he can't be right or she can't be right. Look at all the world the way they're going. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All right, look, if you will, please, in Matthew. There's a passage over there we ought to be looking at in the book of Matthew in chapter number 15. There's a passage there that we ought to be looking at. It's in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. And the Bible said in chapter 15, verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. If the blind be leaders of the blind, he said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both wind up in the ditch. I got to tell you, if you're rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord, you ought to be growing in grace, love, and faith, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ought not to be as weak today as you were when you first made a profession. You ought to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, I realize, though, that whenever I started out, and, I mean, I got saved. I was a new Christian. There wasn't a whole lot that I knew. I mean, you know, I'm talking about I was just in the learning process. And there may be somebody back then that could probably, you know, maybe trip me up or this or that because I was just unaware of what God had to say about a matter. But let me tell you right now that after all these many years later, it's been a while since anybody ran roughshod over me. And it's not because I'm such anything. It's because God's given me the grace to believe the word of the Lord and to hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God and that I could teach transgressors his ways. I can promise you right now is that in all this day we're living in, I had a man tell me the other day that their preacher had resigned, said that a man his age couldn't pastor a church. Well, that may be true for him. But don't get your hopes up about that for me. I'd quit right now if I could. I can promise you. But God's given me no liberty for that. I know you think that I'm mean and rough and rude and all that business there sometime, and sometime I may be, but I got to tell you, I've been voted on many times. That's one church voted on me three times, and I told them, that's it. Now either vote me out, let me go. I don't want to have to pray about leaving. by the way, I didn't have the majority of just all my family either. I hear them little snide remarks. They're not here tonight, but snide remark. Well, you know, he treats us different than he does his family. Yeah, that's probably right. I probably trust them in my house and around whatever I've got more than I would you, because I don't know who really what you are on the other side, you know. I don't know if you're Mr. or Miss Sticky Fingers or not. Now, I don't see anybody in here that I wouldn't trust. I mean, you know. But there's been some people I trusted that betrayed me. And let me tell you right now, that's an insulting thing and all of that right there. The fact is, of all, you know, I've gotten blamed here of late of all those that have left. Hey, let me stop you a minute. Get your gear, get your mind in gear. I've not asked one of them to leave this church. In fact is, I told them, let's get together, pray together, and see if we can't get it worked out. They left of their own volition. I'm just bearing the brunt of it. See what I'm talking about? Now, I got to say to you that whenever you look into it, you'll find that if you're a child of God, you ought to be rooted and you ought to be grounded in the faith. Look in Ephesians chapter number 3. It's about verse number 17. And there's a passage over there that we ought to look at in Ephesians in chapter 3 and about verse number 17, if I've got it down here right, all right? Here's what he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. I got to tell you right now, our first love ought not to be left, which is the love for the word of the Lord, the love of the Spirit of God, the love for Christ himself, the love one for another. Yes, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that over in Revelation chapter number 3, the Bible said that you better be careful and don't let any man take your crown away from you. You know, you can earn something with the Lord, and then if you're not careful, be deceived and be led astray and so forth and on. And let me tell you right now, it's good to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Let no man beguile you. No man. Over in Colossians chapter 2:18, he said, let no man beguile you with voluntary humility. In other words, don't get to the place to where that you're going to let some man, woman, boy, girl, family lead you astray. Here's what I can't understand. I've had people, you know, that wanted to belittle us, belittle our church, belittle me as an individual, belittle our everything that we got going, so forth and on, and called us ugly names. And then on birthday, text me up and wish me happy birthday. Tell me about that. That's all right. I appreciate a couple of you that can chuckle. I wish I could chuckle over it. I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that you'd better not submit yourself in voluntary humility to those that are up to no good when it comes to things of God. Did you know that over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 24 and about verse number 21, it said, meddle not with them that are given to change. Listen, if you used to live for God and walk with God and talk with God and preach heaven real and hell hot and be a witness with your lip and be a witness with your life and all that business there, what do you want to change for? Now, I don't think there's anybody here tonight that has changed, but let me tell you right now, it's easy. It's be very, very easy to go to meddling with change and entertaining that. I got to say in closing, whenever God said, let no man beguile you, you know what that means? Over in Colossians chapter 2:18, let no man beguile you. That means don't let somebody deceive you. Don't let somebody trick you. Don't let somebody cause you to be led astray. I mean, you know, if you're led astray, you can blame it on the devil, but you're the one that followed. See what I'm talking about? And don't let anybody lead you astray. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let it be any trickery involved in it. Let me tell you, if you'll be up front and above board all the time before God, then let me tell you what you'll do. You'll leave here shouting one of these days because you'll not be double-minded. But you'll be stable in all. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Amen. All right, as we stand to our feet and get ready to I pray, dear God, you'd let us be busily occupied about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, we pray.